We are the Forsaken. Forsaken.
You're listening to a Corpse Run Radio minicast. Hello, darlings, and welcome to Corpse Run Radio. I am your host, Juno, and this is minicast number 25.2. This episode is a week late, but I had a nasty doozy of a cold, actually, that I'm still getting over. I came down with it right before my sweetheart and I went on our awesome cruise, so yeah, it was a lot of fun, as you may or may not know, to go on vacation and be sick the entire time. Despite that bit of a bummer, it was still one heck of a freaking awesome time, so yeah, I can't complain too much, right? The cruise is called 70,000 Tons of Metal, as we are metalheads, and it was phenomenal. Absolutely wonderful. This is the fourth time we've been on the cruise, and they have 60 different metal bands on there. It's got to be one of the least relaxing vacations on the planet. And I think that by the time we got back, my body was just like, screw you, I give up. So yeah, I needed to actually sleep for about 4 days, apparently, once we returned. So last week did not happen. But we're just about back to full health now, so that's good. Not quite enough to do a full episode, but enough to give you something. So I hope that you're all doing well, and that you didn't miss us too much. Other than that, I just wanted to quickly mention that the amazingly wonderful, fantastic artist known as Frenone has finished our new logo, and it's just, I love it. I love it, love, love it. I'll update the site and iTunes and all of that with it sometime soon, hopefully this weekend. I'll probably update the Facebook page first, so if you go to Facebook and search for Corpse Run Radio, it should be there if you'd like to have a look. I absolutely could not be happier with it, and I'm very, very grateful to her for spending so much time working on it, and I hope that you all like it too. I don't know how you couldn't. I just freaking adore it. It's fantastic, so yeah, very excited about it. All right, we don't have a lot this mini, and I can feel a coughing fit coming on, so before that happens, I'd like to let you know that this episode we do have our illustrious Grand Negus with us, as well as Doron's Movies and Novel 87. We're going to kick it off with a song by Kavo, featuring Kesha, called Love is in the Air, because that just happened in the game. I totally missed it, but hopefully you did not. And we'll end this mini with a song by Silverlay Tomy called Levels. And hopefully I don't miss any F-bombs this time around. And I'm sorry about the last one. Noble doesn't usually do that, so I don't pre-screen his stuff. So yeah, my bad, I'm sorry. And I should have a longer episode for you next week, as this cold will hopefully finally be gone. I hope that you all have a great week, and Dark Lady watch over you. Bye, darlings.
I almost cried. Still I would crush the crown. Two dailies all around. Gather up all the love tokens. Heart-shaped boxes dropping now.
Super shadow fang.
Chief, fortune's my valentine. Don't break my heart, give me your charms. For the love is in the air now. Cast a ray on all my friends. They really love me now. One chocolate box for your dress box. Cause the love is in the air now.
Love struck by true love prism. Ain't it romantic? Pack up our picnic basket.
basket, Valentine's dinner in that grand. Don't forget to wear that necklace, it might just save your life. I'll follow you all around as a rock band. What a creepy life.
Check the lovely merchant, handful of roses. Shower no more locks and torn jewels. Don't mind while I flirt with disaster. If you're lonely, come with me, I'm the love master.
Profess my love to Jaina, yes, she's my Valentine. My love is bold like a red rose, for the love is in the air now. Got shafted twice from Cupid, get your achievement now. Put your dress on, got my suit on. Yes, the love is in the air now.
Oh, in this nation, we practice adoration. Come make your bracelets now, bring them to your leaders. Aren't you charming now?
Calm chemical is taking over, making potions with a strong odor. They know I'm coming for them, apothecary scum. Always dropping necklaces, at least I got the horse from the headless. I've been running this for years, every day that it's here. All I want is a rocket, to be completely honest. Guess I'll just have to settle, even though it's not sentimental. A lovebird battle pet, can it drop yet? Been doing this on alts, it's RNG's fault. I've got the worst luck, if I ever did drop, I would be awestruck. Chances of that happening are pretty baffling. Regardless of the fact, you've heard what I rap. Gonna grind it every day, every year that I play. Cause I really need the mount, you best start the dungeon count. Cause I'm logging onto my account right now.
I'll give my gift to the war chief. Fortune's my Valentine. Don't break my heart, give me your chance. For the love is in the air now. Cast a ray on all my friends, they really love me now. One chocolate box for your dress box, cause the love is in the air now.
Hello, my name is Grant Negus, and today I would like to talk about scaling in the World of Warcraft. Back in the day of, I think it was Cataclysm, or it might have been Mr. Pandaria, I'm not totally sure, but I think it was Cataclysm, we got the first glimpses of what Blizzard could do with scaling. Actually, it was in one of the betas for one of the two expansions, where Blizzard, for raiding testing purposes, scaled our item levels up to the desired level. So regardless of what gear we had equipped on our beta tunes, they scaled them up to the desired level of the testing, so we could do enough damage, enough healing, have enough stats, so we could do proper raid testing. That got us, as I said, the first glimpses of the tech that Blizzard had at their disposal back at that time. And people were thinking about what else is Blizzard able to do with regards to scaling. The next version, so to speak, of scaling, to my knowledge, came with the Proving Grounds. And that was scaling down, not scaling up. So regardless of what item level your gear had at level 90, which it was back in Mists of Pandaria, when the Proving Grounds were introduced, if you had a certain minimum item level, it would stay at that. But if you had higher item level, it would automatically be scaled down to a certain pre-calculated and determined item level that Blizzard thought was valid and good for people to do the Proving Grounds in. I think at the moment with our Warlords of Draenor Proving Grounds, the item level is 610. So that is the minimum item level. If you have higher gear at level 100, it'll be scaled down to 610. If you have lower than 610 item level gear, you basically lost out on that then. because it doesn't scale up. So that was the next stage in scaling. After that, with the Warlords expansion, as you all know, we got Time Walking. And Time Walking is pretty much where I, for myself, started to feel that this is getting close to what I would like to see as a player, because we get scaled down to the heroic item level version of the Risp. That's the next stage of scaling. Also, we have the PvP scaling, but that's not only a gear scaling, it's also a tune level scaling for the tunes that are not at max level yet. You can get bumped up to the max level of the bracket that you play in. I'm not sure about the numbers on the brackets, but I think it's like the tens. So if you are a level 11, you get bumped up to 20, I think. And if you're same as a level, or 19, sorry, 19. And if you are a level 17, you get bumped up to 19 as well. So the only distinguishing factor here is the abilities you don't have and the strength of your gear. That's a determining factor still. Alright, that brings us to Legion and the final scaling. And Legion is where scaling takes a whole different turn. Because, as you all know, up until Legion, we have had zones to play in. Each and every zone has been a predetermined level to quest in any zone, be it a level range or a predetermined single number level. Like in Tanan Jungle, you can only play and quest if you are level 100. On the Timeless Isle, you could only quest and do stuff when you were 90. So that being said, if you started on a expansion, let's stay with our latest expansion, Warlords of Draenor. If you were Horde, you started at Frostfire Ridge. That's the lowest zone character level wise, the starting zone. And if you are Alliance, you started in Shadowmoon Valley, equally as low. And then you had pretty much to go, if it was the initial leveling progress, you had to go to Gorgrund. You had, next to that, you had to go to Terrador. After that, you had to go to Arrak, Spires of Arrak, and then to Nagrand, because you couldn't get any quests on your progression any other way, because the character level that you reached determined the zone that you went to, or that you had to go to, or have still to go to. Although now, or by now, various factors have somewhat watered it out, because we have the heirlooms and we have the buffs from various items and various holidays and stuff like that, that gives us a XP buff. So we can go through some zones faster, or even skip zones if we level fast enough. Be that as it may, you still have to follow the general path of the quest progress. You might be able to skip one or two zones along the trip, but basically the road that you have to follow is still the same. Now with Legion, all this changes, because you as a player, starting at level 100, after you leave Draenor, you can pretty much choose what zone you want to play in. Except for Zurumar, which is the max level zone, and that is a max level exclusive zone, just like Tanan or like the Timeless Isle, but that's by choice of Blizzard, but that's a choice, a conscious choice they made, that one zone had to stay and content. So you have a zone where you can play in max level. All the other zones are pretty much zones where you can pick and choose where to go at what level. There is no more pre-required path that you have to follow. If I want to start in Azuna, which is a Night Elf Naga zone, at level 100, I can as much do that as I could start in High Mountain, which is the Torin zone, or in Valshara. It doesn't matter. Each zone has the same structure, and that is that the world scales around you. You are a tune, you play your tune in the world, and the world scales around you. As far as I understood, what they said is that basically, to explain it in a simple and easy to understand way, when you start beating up a mob that is level 100, just the same level that you are in Azuna, it has 100% health, regardless of the numbers that you see. Let's say it has 100,000 health points. Those are 100%. So if you hit the mob with a basic attack, it'll take off, say, 5%, which is 5,000 points. So if you hit that mob 20 times with your basic attack and no crits happen, the mob is dead, because 20 times 5,000 damage equals 100,000 damage, which equals 100% of the damage, because the 5,000 are 5%. So if you are a level 101 tune, beating on the same mob, the numbers are slightly different, but the percentage of damage that you deal is the same. It's 5%. You hit the mob 20 times for, say, 6,000, because 6,000 equal 5%. Then you hit it 20 times without crits and the mob dies. And that's exactly how it works. The damage that you deal is percentage based. And the same thing with a level 107, 108, 110 character that you play. The mobs scale up, but still the hit that you do equals, again, to stay with the basic hit, 5% of the mob's total health. So, and here is the neat thing. If I, as a level 100 tune, hit a mob for 5% damage, and a 108 tune comes in playing Azuna as his last zone in his progress, he hits the mob for 5% as well. Although his 5% equal a different number on his version of the mob, but it's still the same mob. So we beat on the mob each 10 times for 50% each, and the mob dies. It's a math game, so it doesn't matter what level you are. It only matters what amount of percent damage you deal to the mob. And the same goes the other direction. So that's how the scaling around the world works. Now, the problem with this scaling is, regardless of your character level, each mob is going to be as hard and difficult to beat. You will not see a zone that you can literally overrun, or that is going to be easy to quest in, because you have more power at a later stage in your leveling progress than in an earlier stage, which needs getting used to, but that's just the downside of it. There isn't going to be a ruffle stomp thing anymore in the questing progress, except, and here is where the last thing comes in, the last factor, so to speak, when you reach 110, the end level, the max level of the Legion, and you gear your tune beyond the normal gear threshold, which at this moment I think is 810, which is the base 110 gear level. If you get to the higher tiers or the better gear, you will have that extra damage that makes it easier to kill the mobs again. But you have to solely depend on your better gear. There is no more base bonus for having a higher level because, again, the mobs level with you. So it's a little complicated, as I said, but yeah, I hope I didn't confuse you too much. I just wanted to let you guys know about what Blizzard intends to do. The consequences of this way to level are very interesting and, in my opinion, good, rather than no more Ruffle Stomp leveling, because this means that you can pick and choose which zones you want to start at, or the order of the zones that you want to level, as well as you will be able to play all leveling dungeons from the get-go. I'm not sure if they are going to implement a attunement process for the dungeons, because so far each zone has a dungeon unlocked at the end or in the middle of the progress of questing, where you go and complete a quest that you have obtained at the end of a certain quest hub. So they might choose to do that, to not have too many people play a dungeon that they don't know the background about. Then again, Blizzard wants people to play the multitude of their content, so again, they might not do that. Lore-wise, it would make sense that they put in the attunement. Gameplay-wise, it doesn't matter. But yeah, again, that's gameplay trumps lore again, as it most oftentimes is. So yeah. Now, what it also means is that people have much more opportunity, much earlier opportunity, to play a certain dungeon, and you have the variety in dungeon leveling or playing, where in all previous expansions you only had like one or two every one or two levels that were unlocked and then got locked again after two or three levels. So you only had like two, maybe three at the high end level just before max level that you can choose from, or that you could choose from to play through. And now you have all the leveling dungeons at your disposal to play them, get gear from, and have the variety there as well. Also, the gear that we get in the zones are not zone specific leveled, which means that it doesn't matter what zone, what quest, what dungeon, and what level, everything scales. Much like the time walking system, where if you are not max level, the gear that you get from killing a boss pre-max level will award you the item level appropriate to your level at the moment. And exactly that is what the quest rewards, the boss drops from the dungeons, and also the mob drops in the open world will scale to you. So each character level has a specific item level assigned to it, of course, or three, because you have the green, the blue, and the purple, and then of course the legendary. So we had these droppable, those new legendaries that we are able to get. So it's going to be four, essentially. And depending upon what character level you are, you will get the level appropriate gear, item level wise, dropped. So that's another nice thing to see, that there is no more low level gear that you can throw away because I did a lower level zone at a higher level, like character level. Every item that you ever get during leveling will be level appropriate. The only thing that might happen is that it's a lower quality or it has the wrong stats, but basically item level wise it's always going to fit to your character at your level. Alright, I think I have been talking long enough. If you have questions, suggestions or any other things you want to mention or let me know, you can tweet me at grandnegus1. You can write me an email, towerofcommerce@gmail.com. Or you can write into the show, corpserunradio@gmail.com. This has been Grand Negus, Rule of Acquisition, number 19. Satisfaction is not guaranteed. Bye, guys.
Hello, guys. This is Lawrence Mouiz, and today I'll be giving you 4 possible World of Warcraft expansions after Legion. Going through the speculations based on what we currently know and how the story can progress after Legion. So, without further ado, let's get into the video. Number 4. Continuation of the Legion Invasion. This example has never really happened so far, as every expansion had a storyline of its own, but since the Burning Legion, the main enemy of the Warcraft universe, is the center of the Legion expansion, I think it is possible. Now, this speculation really depends on what happens down the road in Legion and who ends up as the final boss. At this point, it is almost certain that it won't be Sargeras, as there are so many characters involved right now. But I think that Legion, as an expansion, could be a prelude that just starts the invasion, but we don't really end the threat as we usually do by the end of the expansion, we just kinda prevent it. So, in my opinion, we could maybe stop the invasion temporarily, but then in the next expansion, the Burning Legion has something up their sleeve or they're even planning something bigger, and they make it even worse. And this time, they may even be able to summon Sargeras in his full form on Azeroth for the first time. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to kill Sargeras. It could potentially lead to a next expansion where we invade the Burning Legion. But really, the problem with this is that I feel like there would be too much Legion, if that makes sense, and that the style would kinda get stale. Much like the orc thing in Mists of Pandaria and Warlords of Draenor. Like, it is cool at the start, but if you just have the same enemies, the same art style, it just kinda starts to get boring and repetitive. So, to sum it up, I think that a 2 expansion Burning Legion invasion is possible, if they're creative enough and make many changes, but really, it all depends on what happens in the end of Legion, and who we kill as the final boss. Number 3. Legion Attack. This concept is very similar to the last one, and I have covered it before in other videos, but I think it is still relevant and very possible. So, the idea is that we manage to prevent the Burning Legion and defeat them, thus making the Legion very weak and vulnerable. And since Sargeras didn't really show up and you can't really defeat the Legion on Azeroth, we have to invade the Twisting Nether, which it would be their homeworld. Now, their base operations could be Argus, the Fallen Eredar world, or we could have Argus and some smaller worlds together with that, possible patch content. Personally, I think this would be very interesting, as for the first time we would be the ones to invade instead of constantly being invaded. This expansion also opens a possibility for complete new lore, new world, new races that we could find on these worlds that are constantly at war with the Legion. So, in general, I think that this could make a great continuation of the story. However, it will still suffer from the same issue as my first concept, and there is too much Legion. It could be a challenge, but I think it could easily be fixed, as this time we would actually see their base. So this would give Blizzard the opportunity to design a new world, new architecture, new minions, and just things we haven't seen from the Burning Legion in the past. And even though it has kinda the same team, I think that it could be developed in a completely different art style. So, all in all, if done right, this could make up for a really, really good expansion. Number 2. Ashara. I think that an Ashara expansion would be a great addition to World of Warcraft, and it might very well be the next expansion. The reason I think that it would be possible is because the story development and the Naga and the Ashara thing has been going on for so long. we had the Naga in Warcraft 3, then in the Burning Crusade, later on we have an entire underwater zone called Vashir, and now in Legion there will also be a good amount of Naga influence. To add to that, Ashara is also one of the most important characters in the Warcraft universe, pretty much the one responsible for the first invasion and the sundering of the entire world. But even though we do know that she is out there, we haven't really seen her, apart from a really, really small appearance. So, I think that an expansion centered around Ashara would be highly possible, and since she's a servant of the old gods, this would also give us an opportunity to learn more about them, or maybe even fight an actual old god. The good side of this expansion is that it would change up the theme and really spice it up, make it more unique and interesting, and we could see things that we had never seen before in an expansion. However, the bad side is the actual underwater zones where most of the Naga reside. I personally enjoyed Vashir in Cataclysm, but I know that it wasn't very popular within the community, which kinda stopped Blizzard from really doing the entire underwater zone thing where everything was under the water and you had to use the underwater mount. However, what I think they could do to fix this is maybe have an underwater zone, so like a cave underwater. For example, we learned that the Naga have built an entire empire under the actual water, much like the subterranean kingdom of Azul Nerub, which is huge as it is. To add to that, not really make all the zones water and cave based, they could also add other islands where we would set up bases or have some sort of like patch content like some mid-sized bosses. Kul'Tiras could finally make an appearance or some unknown islands that we still haven't discovered, and it might contain some new possible races or some new lore that we have never really seen. So, I personally think that an Ashara expansion is highly viable due to all of the build-up in the past and the immense amount of unused story. Number 1. Old God Expansion. This one is kinda expanding on the previous Ashara idea and could pretty much be the same thing, or completely two separate expansions. What my idea is that when the Burning Legion invasion happened, and all the fuss around the Broken Isles, an actual Old God prison was broken beneath there. Since we don't really know where Enzoth is, he might actually be under the Broken Isles, somewhere under the water. So, it could totally be a viable thing and a continuation of the story. So, we defeat the Legion, stop one big threat, but by doing so, we create an even bigger threat. Personally, I think it would be a lot more fun if the Old God got free without our knowledge and actually set up a base, and then we find out about it and we have this entire force to fight, instead of the entire Yogg-Saroth scenario where we stop it before it really happens. I actually think this is possible since we have all of this build-up. I mean, we had Yogg-Saroth, Old God influence in the books, comics, in Cataclysm, Myths of Pandaria, even some hints of Old Gods in Worlds of Draenor, and possibly even in Legion. So, I don't think an entire Old God-based expansion seems like such an outlandish idea, because it would really give us a chance to learn more about the Old Gods, and also change up the theme from the Burning Legion to not really bore us to death with the exact same thing and the exact same style. Some scenarios that I see possible is that Enzoth breaks free and sets up his own base and starts an invasion of his minions pretty much from within on Azeroth. Or he might help an old god break out, forcing us to fight two old gods on two fronts. Probably would be a bit of a stretch, because they would definitely need the help of the titans, but that could also add up to the story. This expansion could also include some of my previous speculations with Ashara and the Naga, although I would personally want to see an entire expansion just based on the Naga. So, all in all, I think this can make up for a very interesting continuation of the story, and give us a chance to expand and learn more about the old gods. Alright, that is all I have for this video. Now, do leave your own speculations on what expansion do you think will come after Legion, and also feel free to expand and give some critique on my ideas, what you think might work or what you think might not work. Also, don't forget to like and subscribe if you're not subscribed to the channel already, as it really helps out and keeps all the videos going. And thanks a lot for taking the time out of the day to watch this video, and see you next time.
Hello, everyone. Vol'jin has been part of the Horde for a very long time, and at the end of Mists of Pandaria, he was granted the title of Warchief, the first non-orc in history. But what road led him to this destiny, and what might the future hold for the Shadowhunter? That's what we're going to talk about today, so let's begin, shall we? We don't know much about Vol'jin's youth. He grew up as one of the Darkspear Trolls, within the Darkspear tribe, upon the Darkspear Islands. His best friend was Zelazane, and together they would go fishing, wrestling, building mud forts, claim their first kill together. Zelazane was the one who Vol'jin trusted with his fears and triumphs. The time that he cried over the dead pet when he was a small child, or the day that he'd beaten an older bully senseless, Zelazane had been there for all of it. His father Senjin was a powerful witch doctor and the spiritual leader of their people. One day, Senjin looked into the flames and he received a vision. Change was coming to the Darkspear tribe and Vol'jin had to get ready. For this, his father told him to travel to the part of the island called First Home. This was the place where nobody went besides Shadowhunters and fools, and Vol'jin, at this time, was no Shadowhunter. He convinced his best friend Zelazane to join him on his quest, and together they faced the challenges given to them by the Loa, ancient spirits of those who had transcended death and could grant wondrous boons or inflict terrible punishments. During their time within First Home, Vol'jin received visions of the future. He saw himself team up with Orc and Tauren, clasp hands with Warchief Vral, and join the Horde. He saw himself fighting with his best friend Zelazane, who believed that Vol'jin was not the right troll to lead their people. He saw Garrosh fight Cairn in the arena and take the Horde down a dishonorable path, one that the Darkspear could not follow. All these visions and more were granted to the troll, yet they did not come easy. The Loa tested him with many trials. One of them caused Vol'jin to endure great pain, worse than the pain of a broken bone or stab wounds. Thicker and deeper than any pain Vol'jin had ever felt, it flooded his mind, making thoughts impossible. In that pain, the Loa whispered to him about the cliff nearby. The rocks down below would bring an end to the pain. It would be quick and easy, and Vol'jin realized that it was true. He could jump and end the pain instantly, or the other option was to endure the pain. So Vol'jin closed his eyes and he endured, earning the skill to see the Loa. The second trial showed Vol'jin two roads in front of him. One road led to him living the easy life, healthy and happy, with the finest jungle brew all around him and troll females dancing for his pleasure. A small golden chain stretched from one ankle to the leg of the throne. Now the other road, it led to him wounded and bleeding, surrounded by enemies and constantly fighting, always struggling. Sometimes he led the other Darkspear trolls, sometimes he fought alone, and Vol'jin laughed at the test as if the choice was difficult. He would always choose freedom, he would fight, he would strive, and perhaps never find happiness, but in the end, he would have his freedom. The Loa answered him and told him that the choice itself was not the test, but if he had hesitated even for a moment, he would have failed. Passing this test earned him the ability to hear the Loa, hear them, yet learning how to listen, that would come with time and experience. The final trial had Vol'jin fighting with something that looked like his father. He was confused, he didn't understand why his father was striking out at him, and in their battle, Vol'jin's hand was shattered as the spirit simply ran away. The hand would heal in time, but the thumb would always be misshapen. He would never again throw a knife with that hand, hold a glaive, hunt, or signal the attack, but there was a way to fix it. All trolls were blessed by the Loa with some form of regeneration. They could regrow fingers and toes, they could even regrow more complex parts like limbs and organs. It would take some time, but Vol'jin would be whole again after chopping off his own thumb. After doing so, another Loa appeared to Vol'jin, one that seemed younger than the others and somehow familiar. The vision of Vol'jin fighting Zelazane played out before them, and the Loa asked Vol'jin why he was fighting one of their own, his childhood friend no less. Vol'jin looked down at his stump, and it said it all. He would kill anyone who's a threat to the future of the Darkspears. It doesn't matter who it was, the tribe is everything, its future is everything, and the Loa agreed. Vol'jin did not cut off the thumb to save his life, he did it to save his future. The Darkspears must be fierce, true and endure. It will never be easy, but it's the only way. For passing the final trial, Vol'jin was granted the ability to communicate with the Loa. They would not always do what he would ask of them, but they would give him a fair hearing. He was now a shadow hunter, a master of voodoo magic with the Loa at his side. As they emerged from First Home, Zelizane knew that he would become a great witch doctor. And who knew, perhaps these visions were only possibilities. Perhaps the visions that the Loa granted them were not set in stone. They were not pieces on a board, and perhaps they did not have to fight each other. As they left First Home behind, the visions granted to them faded away. Only impressions and a few words remained. Endure, true, and fierce. To Vol'jin and Zelizane, it felt like they were in there for a week, while in truth it was actually for 3 months, and in that time, the visions of Senjin had come true. Warchief Ral had taken his people west to the ancient lands of Kalimdor, and on their journey, a sudden fierce storm forced them to seek shelter in the cove of a nearby remote island. It was there that they met with Senjin.
Warchief, I sense strange magic all around us. There's the source of your magic. Someone is watching us.
It is you. I saw your arrival in a vision, especially you, the seer. Or is it just my old mind playing tricks on me?
Looks like this troll's been on the island a little too long. We're real enough, old one. My name is Thrall.
I be Senjin, leader of the trolls. This island used to be ours alone, but no more. You and your friends must be careful. The humans established an outpost on this island some time ago.
Humans?
Yes, they hound us day and night. Their patrols be all over the place. Not be long till they find you, too.
Well, I'd rather find them first. We can't risk their patrols alerting the outpost about us. Loktar, my brothers. We're moving out.
Good luck, my friend. I got important matters to tend to, but I be seeing you soon.
While Thrall and the orcs teamed up with the trolls to take care of the humans, another threat appeared.
For the hole!
Watch your backs! This battle's not over yet!
The fish creatures have come to take us away!
Your meddling magics will no longer interfere with our plans, Lathdor.
I wonder what these strange fish creatures want with us.
The Murlocs used to be peaceful, but lately they've been catching us and using us for sacrifices.
Sacrifices? To what?
A long time ago, they started worshipping some witch. They say she lives under the ocean, and if they don't make the sacrifices, she'll destroy this island.
Well, someone should have told them that orcs don't scare that easily. Now, let's get out of here.
Warchief, Senjin was just taken away by the fish creatures. I tried to stop them, but there were too many. They said he is to be sacrificed to their witch.
Then we have no time to lose. Senjin must be freed.
Warchief, I sense a protective shield around the sorcerer. I believe these 3 fish creatures are helping maintain it.
Pathetic fools. They will not stop us from receiving what has been promised.
Senjin,
don't despair. You'll soon be joining him.
The vision told me you would lead my people off this island. You don't have much time, young one. Go.
But you and your people are coming with us.
It be too late. I'm already...
Those of you who wish to follow me will face many dangers. It will not be easy. But if you wish to join us, you are welcome.
Yeah, man. Pretty soon there'll be nothing left here anyway. We come with you.
They're captured by Murlocs, and even though Thrall does his very best to save him, Senjin is sacrificed to the Sea Witch that the Murlocs worship. It was around this time that Volgin and Zelazane reappeared after being gone for months. The news of his father's death did not come as a complete surprise, and Volgin took charge of the evacuation as well as his people. In honor of Senjin, Vral offered the trolls a spot in his new horde, which they accepted, and while a big portion of the trolls followed Vral on his journey, Volgin and some of the tribe, they weathered the Sea Witch's anger, gathered all the supplies that they could, and they took it with them to join their brethren around a year later in the new orc nation of Durotar. In that time, Vral fulfilled his destiny, teamed up with several other factions, amongst them Jaina and the humans, and all of them took on the mighty Archimond and the Burning Legion. After the destruction of the World Tree, after saving the world, Jaina and Vral decided to do their best to keep some sort of peace going. For that purpose, Jaina built up Faramor, while Vral and his people, they worked on building Orgrimmar. Vol'jin and his Darkspear trolls, they made a home on the Echo Isles, but not everyone was ready to leave the past behind and work towards peace. During a campaign in Warcraft 3, we find out that Admiral Dalen Proudmoore, Jaina's father, he showed up to look for his daughter, while also striking out at the trolls on the Echo Isles. Rexxar, together with Chen Stormstout and the troll Rokan, they're sent by Vral to warn Vol'jin and help evacuate his people off the Isles to the mainland, where it would be much easier for the Horde to protect them.
I be Vol'jin, leader of the Darkspear tribe. It be good that the Warchief send you when he did, man. Our villages already be under attack by the human fleet. We got no time to waste. Even now, the humans' battleships be blasting away at our coastal villages.
You have little chance of defeating such a force on your own, Vol'jin. You should evacuate your tribe to the mainland and unite with the War Chief's forces.
Though I hate to be abandoning our homes, your plan be a wise one. However, we got to destroy those battleships before the evacuation can begin. Oh, these wily ones will serve you well, man. Their talent for destruction be mighty.
We have no flying mounts, Vol'jin. We'll be useless on land.
Oh, won't be a problem, man. Now, this be feeling a bit strange.
After destroying some ships and lighting some fires, Rexxar fulfills his mission and the trolls are saved, but the mission isn't over quite yet. Vral wants answers. He wants to know why Jaina would strike out like that, but they soon found out that it wasn't Jaina, but her father that was doing this. She could not stand behind her father's choices of holding on to old hatreds, so she did nothing as Rexxar and the Horde, they assaulted Faramore and they took her father's life. With that, the peace between Faramore and Orgrimmar endured, yet the troubles for the Darkspear tribe were not over yet. Zelazane, Vol'jin's longtime friend, he'd gone mad with power and he betrayed their tribe. With the use of dark voodoo, he robbed most of the Darkspear trolls of their free will, forcing them to obey him. Vol'jin feared that all of his people would fall to Zelazane's sorcery, so he ordered the tribe to abandon the Echo Isles and move to the fishing village called Senjin on the coast of Durotar. During classic World of Warcraft, adventurers were often sent out to strike at Zelazane and his forces to win back the troll's first home on Kalimdor, but Zelazane, he was not so easily defeated. He had powerful magic under his command, and even if adventurers were able to chop off his head and bring it back to the quest giver, after a few days, the magic would wear off, revealing it to be nothing more than painted rocks, bunches of coconuts, or the head of an enslaved Darkspear troll. The true enemy was still out there, the true Zelazane, and he was doing his very best to lure more of the Darkspear tribe to enslave them into his army, and he wouldn't be truly taken care of until a few years later. Up to that moment, Vol'jin didn't do a lot for the storyline. He was present within Vral's fortress in Orgrimmar to offer advice to the Warchief. He showed up during Brewfest to tap the keg, and he sent members of the Horde on a mission which would aid them in their assault upon Zul'Gurub and Hakkar. He was also present during the battle for Undercity during Wrath of the Lich King, but he didn't actually fight in the city. Instead, they kept him outside to point members of the Horde toward Vral and Sylvanas, and they were actually doing the fighting in the city. The Shadow Hunter and leader of the Darkspear tribe, he didn't see a lot of time in the spotlight, but that would soon all change as the time had come for the Darkspear tribe to reclaim the Echo Isles and take the battle to Vol'jin's old friend Zelazane.
Zelazane's time has come. The Darkspear will have a proper home again. Be ready. You came, wise sister. The Darkspear be grateful.
Hello, ma.
Of course, son of Senjin.
Zentabra always keep her word.
Vol'jin gained the aid of powerful trolls like Zentabra. She was ashamed of not being able to stop Zelazane, and she ignored Vol'jin's call when he told them to retreat from the Isles. She received a vision from the ancient raptor Loa called Gonk, who showed her that Zelazane, he had his mindless slaves kill the beast on the Isles, and Gonk wanted her to help them. After being transported to the Emerald Dream, Zentabra and some of the other witch doctors with her, they trained in the ways of the druids, and now, with Vol'jin showing up again, the time had come to put their skills to use.
Did time. Time has come. Warriors of the Dark Spear, make ready. Then Loa, walk with us. Are you ready, Vanira, Zentabra?
The elements. They be walking with us too. As do the beast of these isles.
Then we go first to Buon Samdi. If we're gonna win this, we need his mojo on our side.
Who be starting up me bones? Tim's won Zamde's charges, and not to be touched.
I be Vol'jin, son of Senjin. Here to ask your aid, O great Buon Samdi.
I know who you are, Shadow Hunter. And I know what you want. But what makes you think I'm gonna help you? Ain't a wise thing calling me from the other side.
I ain't asking for me alone, Great Spirit. But on behalf of the Dark Spear Tribe. On behalf of me people.
Dark Spear. It's been long time since I heard the drops. Since I drank the ritual offerings. I be watching over your dead. And for nothing. Why have the Dark Spear forsaken Buon Samdi, huh?
We were driven away, Great Spear. Hexmaster Zalazane took the Isles from us, drove us mad, made us fight one another. The only trolls left in the Echo Isles are his mindless voodoo slaves.
Zalazane.
Aid us, Buon Samdi. Help us regain our home. Return the Dark Spear to the Isles and hear your drums again. Drink your ritual offerings once more. This, a son of Senjin, I swear.
Time to see how bad you want this, Shadow Hunter. Time to see if you'll be worthy.
After passing Buon Samdi's trial, Vol'jin and his troops gained his support, and it's a good thing too, since Zelazane was no pushover. He lured Vol'jin into a trap, turned his fellow trolls against him, and he even raised a shield which no living being could pass. It's a good thing that Buon Samdi is no living being though.
No matter, I can't be touched. No living thing can make its way through this barrier. The Echo Isles be Zalazane's to rule, Shadow Hunter. Now and forever! Who that be?
Zalazane! What you thinking taking that which be mine? The Dark Spear dead are my domain, sorcerer. And now, you're gonna be one of them!
No, no, no!
End for so foul a troll. Buon Samdi, you have my thanks, and that of all the Dark Spear. We will continue to honor you as is proper.
It'll be good to hear the Dark Spear drums once more. You take care now, son of Sinjin. Buon Samdi will be waiting for you on the other side.
Time to return to the village. Time to rebuild our home. The Dark Spear's home. Will you be staying with us, wise Zentabra?
My fate be entwined with yours now, Vol'jin. For good or for ill. I be staying.
Once Amdi himself struck down Zelazane, and the Echo Isles, after around 6 years, belonged to the Darkspear Trolls once again. Several of the visions shown by the Loa during his trials to become a Shadow Hunter, they've come true, and sadly, the one that showed Cairn fighting Garrosh would soon become a reality. However, that's a story I'll save for next week, since we still have a lot of events to talk about and have been going on for long enough. For now, thank you very much for watching, everyone. Subscribe if you like my videos, leave a like if you enjoyed this one, and until next time, guys. See ya!
Level. Get on my baby, cuz, honey, it's time for fun. Nothing is gonna stop us, and we'll bring anyone. Get in that heirloom armor, trink neck, weapon rings. Don't mean to alarm ya, but I'm about to ding. Here we go, while you're still loading up at the door, I'ma pull every room on the floor. Run him all. Oh, I know we can get higher. Got quests still at the hub and dungeons we haven't done. And I know we can get higher. There's levels left to run and I keep on dinging up.
60.
Just been a couple hours since I hit dire mode. Yay. We'll speed through halls of lightning and cruise through Grand Patrol. Running the older content faster than ever before. Crossing 89 and now we're in Draenor. Here we go, while you're still loading up at the door, I'ma pull every room on the floor. Run them all.
Dark Lady watches over you.